How about something with even more of a different mechanism of action, specifically bevacizumab? And I wonder if you could comment about your trial, SWOG-S0533.
It is still in its early stages of accrual. The goal of this particular trial is to try to offer bevacizumab to these patients. Now, there's not a lot known about the combination of chemotherapy, radiation, and bevacizumab. So the trial has two groups of patients and three cohorts of treatment. In the two groups of patients, one group of patients will be considered low risk with regard to hemoptysis in particular, in terms of treatment with bevacizumab, I should say, probably. And one group will be considered high risk. And those are patients, the high risk patients are defined as either someone who has had hemoptysis, someone who has a tumor that's fairly central near a major blood vessel or that has some cavitation, or someone with squamous, predominantly squamous histology. Those are the high-risk groups, so it's any one of those characteristics. And then these groups of patients, the low and the high-risk, will independently accrue to the trial. In the first cohort of patients, they'll receive chemotherapy in the form of cisplatinum, etoposide, and radiation. And then after a break period, they will get bevacizumab with the docetaxel consolidation. We decided to continue this despite the results of the HOG trial because we felt that this is now bevacizumab with chemotherapy and that it might enhance the effect of the chemotherapy.
But now the bev is also given during the chemo radiation?
No, not in the initial cohort of patients. It's given after that's completed, okay, in both risk groups.
So it's like phase one, two.
It is,
it is. You're going to sort of check it out.
Right, and if these patients do okay with no toxicities, we'll try to move the bevacizumab in the second cohort into the midst of the chemo radiation.
Yeah, this issue of Bev and stage 3 disease is really interesting because I guess there's the issue of will the radiation therapy in some way fibrose things down and
exactly.
Kind of protect you against bleeding.
That's the whole idea behind treating these risk groups separately, but the idea is that it'll allow us to treat them with bevacizumab.
No, what about the higher risk patients? Is that what you just described?
Right.
So what's the other ones that are not in higher risk?
That would be someone with an adenocarcinoma histology, right.
So what's the regimen there?
Same thing.
Oh, so
okay.
Everybody's...
Right.
It's just when you say you're putting them into two groups, you just to sort of see what happens?
When you get the patient...
It's not randomized or anything.
No. Yeah. They are assigned to either the high-risk or the low-risk category.
But they're treated the same.
Exactly. And the first cohort of patients we're treating, we're adding the bevacizumab with the consolidation treatment.
Right.
If we get through both the high-risk and the low-risk cohorts and the patients have acceptable side effects, then we move to the second cohort. So it is sort of like a phase one-ish study.
So in the second one, you're going to do the bev during the chemo radiation?
Yes, in the midst of it. And then the third cohort, if we get to that point, it will be given up front at the beginning of the chemo radiation with the platinum and the etoposide.
And again, both groups are going through this.
That's right. And they're accruing separately.
How many people are on the study so far?
11.
So you're still in the first phase?
It's fairly early, yes.
Putting people on with hemoptysis sounds a little interesting.
The study is written so that, remember, they're getting chemotherapy and radiation right up front before they even touch bevacizumab, okay? If at the time there's a lot of safety issues written into the study, if at the time when they're ready to receive their consolidation treatment, if they still have hemoptysis, they wouldn't get it. So there's a lot of safety issues written into the study.
What's the interval from the beginning of the radiation to the beginning of the maintenance?
The chemo radiation is about 6 weeks in length.
And then how long after that does the maintenance start?
Roughly about 4 to 8 weeks.
So, I mean, is that enough time for radiation therapy to sort of fibrose things down?
We don't know.
What other groups or studies is RTOG? Are they looking at the same question of Bev, or are they participating in this?
Actually, they're not participating, but there are other trials. RTOG does not have a Bev trial, I'm pretty sure, in stage 3 disease. There are some small cell trials that are being run, concurrent treatment with Bev and chemo radiation. I'm not sure if Dr. Vokes has a trial with Bev. He might.
Well, congratulations. This is a great study. Really great study. I'm really excited because, you know, it's like a lot of studies in the past just been sort of AB versus CD and all this stuff. And this is really interesting and a little bit bold, I would say.
It is bold. You know,
it's a bad disease, though. We need to be bold.
It is, and we need to see if we can incorporate, you know, that is another issue, is incorporating targeted agents into stage 3 disease, and we're trying to do that with bevacizumab. I hope we'll be successful, but I think we are doing it as safely as we think we can.
Well, also, there are a lot of people with stage 3 disease, and
That's right.
Is a big cause of lung cancer mortality, and you know, if we could make a dent in that, that'd be awesome. What went into the decision to use docetaxel with the Bev in the maintenance?
Well, initially, when the study opened, this was prior to the results of the HOG study. So we were just following our most successful regimen in the Southwest Oncology Group. And then once the HOG results came out, we discussed whether to continue the study in this fashion. But we felt that because, as I said, we were giving the bevacizumab with chemotherapy, that hopefully the benefit of the consolidation therapy would be better.